happy Wednesday. That's me messing with stuff in the background. So I leave and I come back and I'm like, look at all these changes to our dashboard. So I'm like clicking buttons and doing different things back here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Say hi, say hello, drop a comment down below. You are tuning in to the best, the number one active real estate podcast show globally. I can say globally because we've got folks listening to in Argentina, Kenya, Germany, Canada. Listen, we're doing fantastic things. So thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. We are celebrating. I just thought about this when I did the caption. We are on our 200th episode. 200th episode. So that means 200 episodes of real estate, just pure real estate content. So most of you may have connected with me originally when I was doing the Shift Your Thinking series, personal development, professional development, and I loved, loved, loved doing that. And now I said, I'm just going to dedicate my time and focus to Ready, Set, Real Estate. And so we've been streaming Wednesdays at 11 Pacific time with sometimes some time changes here and there in between shows. But overall, I've been consistent in knocking out 200 episodes. You and I are on to something special. So I want to say thank you. You and I have been doing some amazing things. Alfred Tovar in the building. He says, congratulations on your 200 episode. Absolutely. So Alfred, I would like to invite you to be a guest on a show. And you are doing big things, my friend. And I held off on reaching out because I just saw you've got now like a public position. And I don't know if you can now do interviews. I don't know, like, what's the protocol? Are you still accessible? Or in other words, now that you have a public position, you are that much more accessible. So I will, at the end of today's show, you and I should connect. And let's get you scheduled for the show if it's something you are allowed to still do. I definitely want to have you on, okay? All right, so we are going to be talking about it. Listen, I do want you to engage with today's topic because if you, by show of hands, have already asked a friend, a financial advisor, your real estate professional, I know some of my agent partners have been getting these messages. I've been speaking to some of the loan officers. They've been getting the messages. And the infamous question right now has been, let's drop it in the comments. What has been the infamous question right now? Don't you like when I just kick right off into show mode, no show announcements and everything? Because it's been such a hot topic right now about this bank bust that we are seeing, right? Is it going to be a domino effect for those of you who have not been paying attention? In 2008, we have already exhibited this. And then even when you think about stock market crashes and things tied into financial recessions, economic recessions, we look at these cycles, right? We look at these cycles. So while you're chiming in, I'm going to go ahead and type in what has been the popular question right now amongst people, right? People. LaDonna says, good morning. Good morning, LaDonna. And remember, she is also a notary public. She is serving the greater LA area. She's also one of our small business spotlight. We are having our community workshop happening next Saturday. Remember, we have brought the workshops back. They're live. They're in person. We're hosting them fourth Saturdays of each month. And I will give you all the information. I'll give you the link, the websites, and all that fun stuff to tune in here. Alfred says, I would love to be on your podcast. Let's get it. Let's connect and get it scheduled. Thank you very much. We'll do that. And LaDonna says, think there's been at least one other bank going under. So more banks going under, right? So last time I posted, I think it was number four. We were like on number four. And so the question of the day is, wait for it. Mm, question of the day. So I'm in the chat box here. Okay. So I'm jumping in the chat box with this one. Okay. So question of the day, should I withdraw my money from my bank? By show of hands, have you thought about it? Have you asked someone? Have you been speaking with someone? Have you been following the news to see if the news or media is going to tell you? Are you waiting for someone to give you this answer? Question of the day, should I withdraw my money from my bank? Now, there is a very cliche or popular saying that goes like this. You should not put all your eggs in one basket. If you've connected with me and you've worked with me and you know me, yes, you should not put all your money or all eggs in one basket. I like diversifying. And when you are dealing with FDIC banks, right? So let's name some terms here. Donna says, yep, the thought briefly crossed my mind. Exactly. You should have access to, so let's talk about this, and we're going to drop some terms on today's topic. And the whole thing is, how is this going to affect the loan market, right? Or the housing market? And stay tuned, because this is going to be very important for those of you who have been on the fence as buyers. Very important for those sellers, property owners who are considering selling or pivoting to, waiting and then renting it out and then deciding to liquidate later. There's a lot of varying factors here. There's a lot of things, as I even see in the day-to-day of our business, that is affected by this conversation, that is affected by what's been happening. So we're going to drop some terms here. So federal deposit, FDIC, if it is a new word to you, refers to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And I'm going to drop the link here for FDIC.gov so that you, right? Because you are student, master teacher. As you learn, you too become the teacher. And, when you're learning, you are the student. And that is my role in life, is I'm a master teacher, master student, always learning and always pouring and teaching. So you will visit, this is assignment for today. If you want to shift your thinking, you get the CTA and call to action. And you've got to apply what you learn. So today, that's what we're going to do. I want you to visit the website. Just visit the website. Browse it like you browse social media. Uh-oh. Browse it like you browse social media. I do want you to take the time and visit FDIC.gov. FDIC.gov. Okay? All right. Let's get into, I'm going to be using the chat box today. So I'm not going to do classroom style. Well, normally I have a slide up. This is just conversation and you and I will converse. This is engaging. This is live. So thank you for being on the live. If you're tuning in on our radio podcast, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for your continued love and support. Be sure to hashtag replay. That way we know you're on. And what happens is it draws my attention to any comments or questions that are dropped on the comment section or the thread of any of our live streaming channel platforms. So yes, it's not my robot or chat bot that is engaging with you. It is still me, because I'm still personable. It's one of the things when I teach and coach industry partners about social media is being social. Go figure. Yes, you've got to engage with people, right? It's about being social. So I do want you to visit the FDIC website, and just to make sure you're at the right place, let's do this. So for fun, we can do a screen share today. Just really light technology for that. So we are doing a screen share. So when you get here, this, you know, you're at the right place. This is where you are. So get to know what this means. And that little logo there, the FDIC, those are things as a banker, as a consumer who is banking or has banking relationships, you're seeking banking relationships, pay attention to the fine print when you go to the website or you look at the bank's brochures and check to see if they are FDIC insured, right? FDIC insured. This for us is similar. It is similar to the world of FHA insured loans. Oh, so you were wondering how this ties into real estate. See, we oftentimes call FHA insured loans first time home buyer loans. Oftentimes you guys call it a first time home buyer loan. And then when you reach, you connect with your professional and you have your meeting, you have your strategy call or strategy session on what's the game plan to purchase your property, they oftentimes will use terms such as FHA, conventional, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Home Ready, right? Like these are the term VA, Veteran Administration guaranteed loans. These are, when we talk about the government-sponsored enterprises, FHA, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and, I've got to double check because they should have now been removed out of government control. I've been following just so much information because there's a lot happening. Okay, let me stay the course. Okay, let's look at this. Let me drag this over here so I can control the screen. So boom, right? So about FDIC, let's make that bigger for some of you. This is how you know you're on the right site so you can understand what is happening here, right? What's happening? Because the government overall, Yellen has said that there will not be any bailouts. They've said that. They said, we've learned from 2008. We've learned from 2008. So there will not be bailouts when banks go under, when banks bust, right? And I'm going to drop this in the chat box again. So terms, term you're going to hear me use today is bank run, right? So bank run, we're going to get to that, right? Take your notes because this all is related. This, you know, this is about empowering you to answer those questions that you might be relying on other people to guide you and give you. Again, this is that show, right? This is the raw and uncut side of real estate literacy. And it's important to know this, especially for those of you who have been in the entrepreneur space and the small business space. You have been an employee of those respective companies, and this may or may not affect you, especially because the concern right now has been about making payroll, right? Making payroll. So let's read this together, folks. About the FDIC, it says the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, is an independent agency created by who? Created by the Congress to maintain what? Maintain stability and public confidence in the nation's financial system. This is why there has been a big push by, you see here, multimillionaires and multi-billionaires pushing the feds to step in to buy the banks, right? Buy the banks. They're saying you should step in because it's not the wealthy you're hurting. It is, in this case, the entrepreneurs, the employees, the startups, those who are just trying to get a kickstart and do well, right? Try to contribute to the economy, the infrastructure, and the financial system of the economy. So this is why this is an important conversation, lesson, history lesson, because we are seeing history again, because this is the second time that this has had happen, and you are living it. Whoa, you are living it. You are living and experiencing something historic. So when you get older, right? And you say, wow, I remember back in 2023, there are so many historic moves that are happening right now that I implore you to pay attention, right? Or stay tuned in to Ready, Set, Real Estate. Let's listen. Let's read this next line. Write it down. The FDIC insures deposits. Okay, I'm going to stop there. FDIC insures deposits. Going to pause. This is where I want to stop. The FDIC insures deposits, and that amount is up to $250,000. Now, this is applicable to those banks who are participating members, right? Who have FDIC coverage, because not all banks do. Not all banks are FDIC insured, especially in this last arena of a lot of startups, a lot of financials, people spinning off and creating their own banking systems, right? And we're getting excited with cryptocurrency, and we're getting excited with, you know, just kind of spin-off movements that are trying to break away. And with that breakaway comes the likelihood of not being FDIC insured. So this has nothing to do. I'm not talking about stocks, trading. That's not the conversation we're having. We're having a banking conversation. We're having a financial, right? Financial systems conversation as it relates to understanding the housing infrastructure or ecosystem. Because when we grasp on a greater scale, when we grasp them on a greater scale, the banking system, they're interdependent of each other, right? Because it's an ecosystem. I appreciate you, LaDonna. She gets it. She says, this is such an important conversation. Yes, and I'm here for it, and I'm glad you are too. When we really grasp the infrastructure, this interdependency, it's not a codependency, interdependency of the financial systems, then we go, oh yes, this is why it's important for us to hear from the Federal Reserve about what they're doing about one bank failing. And in this particular case, we're talking about Silicon Valley Bank. And then we're talking about First Republic Bank. And then we're talking about Pacific West. And we're talking about Signature Bank, four banks. If I do a quick Google search, or maybe someone, if you can, that way I don't have too much going on my screens. Maybe if you can open another window on your phone and just say bank fallouts, let's see what comes up. And let's see how many do we have so far as of March 15, 2023. Now, here's what's interesting, because in this ecosystem of what we're seeing happen, and this is why the conversation is important for the Federal Reserve to step in and say, hey, we are going to guarantee and make sure those customers have access to their money and their deposits. We'll make sure they have access to their money and their deposits. And the little asterisk by that comment should be up to $250,000. Silicon Valley Bank has or is an FDIC insured bank. However, 85% of their funds is not covered, meaning it exceeds that amount. That's 85%, which is why we're up in the billions, right? There is a lot of different companies, investors. And in fact, I was reading Governor Newsom has three wineries that have banked, and he is personally banked. with Silicon Valley Bank. And his foundation, or his wife's foundation, their foundation head by his wife, is also connected with Silicon Valley Bank. Silicon Valley Bank is based in Santa Clara, California. And so this is why it's a hot topic. It's interesting because, you know, when you hear governors' money is at stake as well, you go, uh-oh, right? You say, uh-oh, there's something cooking here. And when you learn in terms of how many shares have been lost, right? When you look at the Dow Jones, when you look at now interdependency, right? Now let's look at the stock market and Wall Street. What's happening there? We see that banks are losing their shares. And if you are an aggressive trader or investor in stocks, et cetera, you are probably buying shares right now as those shares are losing their value, which means they cost less. And right now they're suggesting, and again, this is not financial advice. This is not legal tax advice. Let me in fact throw up my disclaimer here. As we're having this conversation, be sure to consult with those licensed and reputable professionals regarding your unique situation for legal, tax, and financial advice. Okay. All right. Had to go there. See, this, I was so excited about doing this conversation. I was like, oh my gosh, we really need to get on this because it seems to be a repeat. I've been 16 years licensed in real estate. So I got in 2006. Which means, wow, this year will be my 17th year. That's super cool. And I recall back then when I was watching the financial crisis and collapse of the housing market happen very early in my career, very green, and wasn't really aware, nor did I understand how to interpret the symptoms, because we were symptomatic just like we were symptomatic from 2018 to date. We've been symptomatic for market corrections, but we keep putting a Band-Aid in the form of stimulus. We've been putting a Band-Aid in the form of stimulus after stimulus package, and we are trying to hedge inflation and force the market down, cool the market down, but it's just a gamble because you cannot determine other outliers or variable factors like this one right here with Silicon Valley Bank and the other subsequent banks that are experiencing these bank runs. Bank runs are those when folks are losing confidence, right? That's what the FDIC says. We are here to instill public confidence. And so you have people, right? When you have a large amount of people and their emotional sentiment and their psyche is concern over their money, that means they're losing confidence in the American banking system, and they want to withdraw their money out of that system. And you have a bank run, right? When you've got this bank run and people going to withdraw their money from banks, and when you understand that banks don't have all your money, they're required to only keep a percentage of money on reserve. Right, on reserve, the bank is loaning the rest of your money out. They're putting your money to work. They loan it out at 7%. They pay you my money market. I get a notice almost every day because interest rates were going up. And so they kept increasing the money market. So the money market was like down to, gosh, before the Federal Reserve started to increase the rate, my money market, I think, was like at 0.29%. It's now at 3.35%. And so, I have two online. And then I brick and mortar banks and some of the big branches. And you've got personal accounts, trust accounts, and checking accounts, personal trust and business accounts, right? And so, yes, am I concerned? I pay attention. You've got to read the fine print and, you know, see how this is going to affect you. One of the things that I have noticed differently from 2006, 2008, or that period, not 2006, because that was like, woohoo, we were all celebrating high prices and low interest rates, and it was just wild. But in 2007, 2008, as we experienced the collapse, 9, 10, 11, and so forth, what I am recognizing differently is the communication, the immediate communication. By show of hands, press 1 in the comment below if you've received an email from your bank that says, we, our liquidity is good, right? Saying that we are not affected, we are not partnered with SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, and we are stable. How many, by show of hands, all my banks so far, by Monday morning, I had an email in my inbox from all my banks that said, we're good. You don't have to worry, right? Because no one wants a bank run. They don't want you racing to the bank and pulling out the cash that they don't have. If you recall when this happened in the market collapse, I was at the time banking with Wells Fargo, and I don't bank with them anymore. And at the time, I recall going to the ATM. I was downtown somewhere, and I think I was in the middle of like a car transaction, and I needed to go grab cash. And this was in the middle of what was happening. And we walked into the bank. They announced in the bank and said, hello, our valued customers. You can only withdraw, because everyone was there to withdraw money. They said you could only withdraw $500 today. Well, Donna, so let's think about that. If you could only withdraw $500 today, how would that impact you? LaDonna says, looks like there's no new bank failures reported. I did a quick Google search. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And she adds, yep, kicking the ball down the road as it relates to putting a bandage over market corrections, right? Putting a bandage over market corrections. So how would that impact you if your bank said you could only withdraw $500 today? And here's the press release right here. It says FDIC acts to protect all depositors of the former, right here, I'm reading here in the far right corner, of the former, it's not even Silicon Valley Bank anymore, of the former Silicon Valley Bank. Gosh, that's heavy. Ooh, former. Was here, gone. No longer. See, this is why I'm assigning you to do with the FDIC.gov website is just go to the website, see what they're doing. Because here's what media loves to do. Media loves to play on your emotions. Love to play on your emotions. And so the headlines are going to be very, very scary. That's what they do. Just like you added, right, LaDonna? The headlines will be very scary in terms of, this bank, right? Another bank goes under, another bank fails, right? And so when you hear that, you start to process, where does that leave you? What does that mean for you and your family? Where does that leave you and your family? And here you hear, it says FDIC establishes Signature Bridge Bank as successor to Signature Bank, New York, New York. So you see they're moving quickly. This is not like when we were caught back in 08, essentially with our pants down, right? Excuse the metaphor. But you're seeing they have learned. And this is why I say for those of you who are waiting for the market to crash and then buy real estate, not going to happen. Because they are showing you right now they have learned and they put process systems in place and said, how do we respond? Not that it won't happen again, because you can't control market you can't control market fluctuations, but how do we respond instead of react? Those bailouts and those big checks, they were cutting executives and giving money away at the expense or on the backs of taxpayers. They said, how do we not do that again? And if you're following the conversation, they're saying no bailouts and we're stepping in to help, and it's not gonna cost the consumers. It's not gonna be on the backs of taxpayers. This is why I want you to pay attention when things like this happen. You should watch who's moving. What are the movements? Because if you're expecting market crashes, right? Let me stop sharing my screen for a second. This billboard, or this is a canvas, and it has a lot of significance to me. Relates to what was happening back then. LA Weekly put out this article. It says, when Wall Street is your landlord, you all were expecting for all these foreclosures, all these defaults to pop up on the market, but that didn't happen. Why? Because Wall Street figured out how to make an annuity out of them. They bought them in bulk, they packaged them, and they all became rental properties, and they became portfolios. Never to see the real estate market for owner, occupant, or primary first-time buyers or nonprofit organizations never again. What do we find differently? I will be doing a class on what has changed and what California is doing. They have a first look program that says banks can no longer bundle their foreclosed properties and sell them and package them to investors or Wall Streets anymore. And they can't do that between 2023 and 2026. So if there's a bill already passed and in effect, went in effect this year, January, if they're telling you for a limited time only, during a time we believe is going to be a foreclosure crisis, right? Pay attention to the laws that they pass, tells you what's going to happen with the market. Yes, we are going to experience foreclosures. In fact, we are experiencing them already. NODs, notice of defaults, notice of trustee sales, those auction dates, it's happening. And California has put a law into play and they've got a game plan. For 3 years, while we believe this foreclosure crisis is going to ride out for 3 years, with the right to extend that bill, right? The right to extend it if need be. But for 3 years, banks can't mass foreclose and cannot bulk sell to investors. They want to give you the everyday working class consumer, someone seeking to be homeowner. They want to give you the opportunity. But there's rules. There's new rules on how to do it. That's why we'll do a class. Okay. And let me call up LaDonna because she's lit up in here. She's like, okay, I'm thinking mortgage payments alone. She says the fear mongers are already added on YouTube. Yep. 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 Absolutely. Already added on YouTube. And I forget because sometimes, I do watch, but I don't watch garbage on YouTube or read garbage, right? What is in my mental diet? I do pay attention closely to what I'm putting in my mental diet. And one of the things that I pay attention to is, who's looking for the clout, who's looking for the views and the likes and all that stuff. What I do, I feel is a public service. It's education, it's information. And I'm a real life person. For those of you who actually worked with me, know me, connected with me, know that I'm a real person just like you. And so I get these calls, I have these conversations. And so I imagine you, your circle, your family are also having these conversations as well. And so they are showing you, they don't want that repeat of the 2008 housing crisis. They do not want to face that repeat. So they already have a plan into effect. In the event a bank fails, because we know sometimes management is not making the best decisions, unfortunately, right? And then the next thing I wonder is, do they hold those managers, those bank executives, liable? Will they hold them liable? Because there is such a thing such as corporate responsibility. corporate responsibility. LaDonna, I'm feeling all of you today. All your energy's like right on. There is such a thing as corporate responsibility. I may know a little bit of something, you know, being a law student, I know a little bit of something. I just finished that class, business law, and there's, you know, doctrine of corporate opportunity. As I'm thinking here, we might have a little bit of that. Somebody may have wanted to, you know, take advantage of an opportunity, moving some money around, placing bets, right? Because they're in the business of making money. Banks are in the business of making money, not holding your deposits. But what they can do is they can make loans based on the deposits they have on their ledger. So when we gather that, you too should be making and treating your money when you go to work, however that is, small business, employer, employee, independent contractor, you should also be paying attention to how you make your money moves. Is your money working for you, or are you working for your money? Right? Is your money working for you? Are you working for your money? Are you treating your bank as a just for deposits, right? I'm going to save, right? My savings there. My savings, my checking. I have a client that doesn't use banks at all for savings. He's like, yeah, no. They keep very little, and they've got over six figures in their bank account, a couple clients, and they use checking for those bills, right? Oftentimes they use the credit cards for the monthly bills, and they pay the credit cards. That way they leverage rewards, cashbacks, and improve their credit score in the process. So once you really understand that, as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about, I've got to connect with Corey. Shout out to Corey Smith. Corey, yes, I am to get you on the show because I know you've got a lot to say and share about this. He's wrote books about credit and understanding the credit game. And it's important. It's important. When we're talking about stability, you may not want to be rich and wealthy, but you might want to be stable, right? It's called security. You want to know that you have stability. You want to maintain that security. And so when we see things like this, this is why it's important to see what is the FDIC doing. Now, what COVID has taught us, right, me included, especially during this pandemic, as a business owner, what it has taught us, especially when they were giving money out, giving loans out, was your financial house in order for your business? That's what we're seeing right now. This is one of those next reminders. So COVID was pointing out to all of us. Did you have your financial house in order? And are you learning? Are you tidying up? Are you attending the free classes on how to fix your credit? Are you attending the workshops to, you know, understand debt? How to generate cash flow statement, an income report, understanding terms like net operating income, operating expenses, right? Are you taking those free courses and workshops? Because I see a lot of my industry professionals right now, shout out to all of them who are actively doing it. They're hosting the seminars. They're hosting the, Empower Your Finances, the Empower Your, you know, the You and You, the I Am Aware events, the women events, the men events. There are a ton of them that people have come out and say, listen, if you're ready to change, I'm talking to somebody. Nothing changes if nothing changes. If you want different, you've got to do different, right? Okay. Madonna's like, yep, smart. If you want different, you've got to do differently. Okay, let's talk about this in relation to, the housing market. Okay. The housing market right now. So I read last night And this was after I was having a conversation, taking a couple of phone calls from folks and having the same conversation as it relates to their loans, what interest rates are doing. So you may say, okay, gosh, what happens, you know, with banking? I'm looking for property, you know, and shopping for a loan. The good news is that the mortgage interest rates have dropped as a result of this. So if you are in the middle of the process and you're under contract and you haven't locked in your rate, and I'm sure speak to your lender of what the best plan of strategy is, but pay attention that yes, the rates have dropped. Some of you may be curious and wondering, well, what is it, Lisa? 6.5. Yes, it has dropped. And with that means, pay attention also to see if your lender has a program that will allow you, if you purchase this year, will they allow you to refinance if the rates drop next year at no additional cost? Some of you, some of the lenders do have some pretty neat programs to incentivize buyers who are on the fence about the rate. But listen, let's talk about interest rates. You still get the benefit of writing the mortgage interest. So if you are paying, what has changed are a couple of fantastic things when I think about it. We're in an environment where sellers are now more favorable to paying your closing costs. We're in an environment where now interest rates, you know, we have a better environment to buy down those interest rates where we didn't need to buy down interest rates. They were already low. We've just gotten back to that environment. We're also back in an environment where pricing, we're looking to come back to somewhat of a more stable housing affordability. But the reality is we don't have enough inventory. It'd be interesting to see as we're going into the spring season, we do see there are more properties popping up on the market, but the days on market on average, let's say I'm in a local LA area, our DOM days are 42 days on the market, which means that that's kind of the life cycle between going active, right, live on market to going under contract. It's taking about 42 days. It doesn't mean that that property is not selling. It just means it's not selling like hotcakes in 2 hours, as we saw during the pandemic boom of 2021 and 22. 2023 has given us a little bit, and you as a home buyer who's shopping out there, it's giving you the opportunity to shop and compare. Kind of wait it out and say, let me see what else, is this it? But I really enjoy seeing when you know, right? When you walk into the property and you go, oh my gosh, this is it. Let's roll, let's go. That for me has been really awesome to see. And also from a seller perspective, when I work with our seller clients and property owners, for them to be excited as well about going on to the next chapter in their lives. The home has served them, or maybe they become a captive homeowner by way of an inheritor. They've inherited a property or they're beneficiary to a property. And sometimes they don't want to manage that property. Sometimes they don't want to keep that property. And it comes with too much emotional or financial strife that they are not prepared for. So as a captive homeowner or property owner, they are too excited and relieved to get it in escrow, get it under contract, get it in escrow and sell that property. So people are selling for various reasons. I know there's this whole movement that, you know, don't sell your grandma's house, but you don't know what folks are going through. So we've got to be kind and loving to one another about what people have to deal with. And some of your grandmothers and grandparents have reverse mortgages. So you have to either buy it or sell it because you can't assume the loan in the first place. Yeah. So you don't really get to say, can't you, you know, don't sell grandma's house because grandma and grandpa went and put a reverse mortgage on it. And the reality is it's one of two things. You are going to pay off that mortgage by way of getting a new purchase loan. You can do a gift of equity transaction likely, right? Or sell the property. That's it, right? All right. Well, Donna says, I'm interested in all of those classes. Well, guess what? We're here for it. All right. Speaking of classes, let me do this real quick. Let's get it off. Let's get it up on the screen. I got to find my links. So we are deed and mortgage fraud. Gotta find my link, y'all. Gosh. gosh, where is the link? All right, let me grab the link for you. Listen, it's a great time for you to provide your comments, feedback. Found anything helpful so far? And yes, if you are local, definitely stay connected with us while I grab the link for the class. We are going to have our class March 25th, 10 a.m. And I'm excited. I'm excited about that. We are kicking it off with the topic. Let me give you my attention here because I'm trying to type and grab the link for you. So we are kicking off the class with deed and mortgage fraud prevention. So we're going to talk about strategies, new tools that the county LA tax assessor's office has put in place, new tools, new resources that are in play right now to keep you alert, keep you vigilant, some things to look out for. Again, we're going to talk about those bonus tips and strategies of things to look out for. And we'll also be talking about, in the event that you are a victim of deed and mortgage fraud, what are the next steps, right? What are the resources? What are the agencies that you should be connecting with to kind of begin the process of what we call a quiet title action? It's what it's called. Again, it's not legal advice, but that just giving you the keywords and terms and the agencies that we will be connecting with you for that information. Okay. All right. Give me a moment here. Ooh, I'm like in the wrong inbox. No wonder I can't find anything. So it's boom, class. So our class workshop is happening. Wonderful. Share. Let's see here. Stop, present, share. Boom. Here we go. Okay. Move it over so I can see it. Yeah, there's like so much. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to drop this link. Let me copy the link down below. And when you get here, it's easy. 1, 2, 3 is register. So sign up. Make sure you register. There's the link down below. This is our registration page. So we are going to kick off our class March 25th, 10 a.m. Inglewood. And so deed and mortgage fraud prevention here. You want to sign up. Guess what? Free 99, free to attend. Yes, our community workshops will all be free to attend. So make sure you hit the sign up box. And when you hit that sign up today, all it asks you for first name, last name, and email, then you hit submit. That's it. That's all you've got to do if you're local. So these are the links here, deed and mortgage fraud prevention .splashthat.com. If you have an Eventbrite account, we are also on Eventbrite as well. So feel free to use your Eventbrite. You just definitely want to Google that section, put in deed and fraud mortgage prevention in Google. And of course, we'd love to see you. We'd love to have you. We're building community. Our speakers and sponsors, again, I mentioned LaDonna Hightower is our small business spotlight, offering LaDonna's notary service. Really excited to have her. And if you too are a small business, independent entrepreneur, and you'd love to collaborate with us, we'd love to feature you so that you too can get connected with your community that you're serving. And I really appreciate LaDonna because she actually has worked with me on the volunteer side when we were doing our youth work, and she has been awesome. Our venue sponsor, Southwest Escrow Corporations, one of the oldest, right? Oldest independent escrow companies in LA County, bonded and insured. And what's key here is I was involved in building out their community room. We were strategizing kind of what to do. How can we bring more value, not just to the industry professionals, but to our community that we serve. And we ended up building out a beautiful community room that has big screen, podium, whiteboard, and we can easily fit over 60 people in that space, and parking is available. So again, make sure you're tuning in and staying in touch with what we are doing on the show. We are also promoting our small businesses, because without them, and you've hearing it, this is why there's a big push for grants. There's a big push for, you know, giving them access to the money and the loans that they stay afloat. There is a big push. So we want to be a part of that as well, and being able to support our independents, our entrepreneurs, our small businesses to continue to thrive in 2023 and beyond. Okay. Thrive in 2023 and beyond. So we want to thank our venue sponsors, our Small Business Spotlight, and our host sponsors, the Venue Estates, which is our company. I'm broker owner to Venue Estates, and we're excited about what's happening. Okay. Cool. Good stuff. With that being said, be sure to stay connected. The classes kick off March 25th. If you want to learn more and just want to be added, just send me an email, lisa@lasuperagent.com. You are more than welcome to text me direct. If you have any questions that non-related to the show, but if you just kind of want to get connected, learn more, do send a text 323-488-3265. And I'd be happy to provide some guidance, do a strategy call, and let's see what we can do together. All right. This has been great, you all. Thank you for being just a part of what we're doing on our 200th episode. I am excited to kind of hit this mark and milestone, because that's commitment on my side, just being committed to what I enjoy doing. And it's really service. I've been saying that this is my ministry. Ready Set Real Estate is my ministry. And it's our community and platform. We educate, teach, and coach industry professionals as well, and provide just a place for edutainment in real estate literacy and empowerment. All right. With that, I say that's my time. We'll see you next week on another information-packed episode on Ready Set Real Estate. Take care, guys. Bye.